You may have had the experience sometime of doing something for somebody else, whether it's for a vacation where a child wants to go, or someplace where a friend or a spouse wants to particularly go to eat. And then these things aren't necessarily your favorite things to do, but you decide you're going to go ahead and do it for them and bring them along. And then when you're making the sacrifice to do it for them, they start to complain about something. And then they start to nitpick. And if there's a button to be pushed, at least in most of us, that's the button to push. What? Are you telling me we went ahead and spent all this money to do this and now you're saying... Or whatever it may be. You know, this is a time when we're on our last nerve. I think that the Passion reading and combined with our reading that we had to begin our procession with today could put Jesus on his last nerve, and we see how he responds. A little bit different than at least I would feel like responding, and most time probably would respond. The folks, Jesus is on this mission to be able to die and rise for all of humanity. Jesus is going to be the human being, the unique human being with the power of God who can go through all kinds of the negative, horrible effects of sin and rejection and abuse and torture, and then even crawl right inside of the big evil, death. And because he's a human being who has the fullness of divine nature, he is going to explode death from inside out so that everybody who follows along with him from then on can go through suffering and through death in order to be able to find the fullness of glory and life. Everybody says, Jesus, we want to go on that trip. Take us on that trip. And so the first group of those who are going on that trip are there singing to him as he enters into Jerusalem for his final week. Hosanna! Hosanna! What a great guy! And these are the same people who, as the trip gets going on, and it's maybe not exactly the way they figured it would be, are the ones who are running away from him, denying that they even know him. And only after he dies in our Matthew Gospel Passion reading do we have at a distance a few of the women who stayed faithful, but even they were at a distance. And you would think, with all of that, Jesus would say, forget about this. Don't you folks understand what I'm trying to do for you? Well, the heck with you. And what does he do? Before, during, and after. He says, I know you all aren't going to get this right off the bat. And I know you're not going to follow me through this right now. And I know it's going to take time. And I'm here for the long haul. And so, even before the betrayals start, Jesus meets with them and shares his own body and blood with them, full well knowing, this is my body given up for you. This is my blood for you, part of the covenant for the forgiveness of your sins. Their sins are forgiven even before they commit them. And they go ahead and they turn away. And he is there faithful. And he is there giving an example from on the cross in the middle of his pain to be able to fulfill the scriptures and to fulfill this life-saving redemption from death for the entire human race. And as we well know, as the story continues, he'll meet with them afterwards and call them his brothers and his sisters. They're running away from him, didn't make him run away from them. And he's going to meet with them. He's going to empower them through the Spirit. And it winds up that the same apostles, the same followers, the same disciples who turned tail and ran from him are the ones who will on Pentecost be out there preaching on behalf of him and attracting more and more followers and eventually dying for him. This patience, this mercy, this absolute commitment of our God to us, even when we're at our worst, is a source of great power and strength for us during this Holy Week. May I suggest that one aspect of the grace of the Holy Week maybe comes in two particular packages. And it's just one part of the grace of Holy Week. Number one is an invitation to us again at a deeper level than ever, that as hopefully we have located our sinfulness personally and as a group of people and as a nation and as a humanity, as a human race, as we've located maybe a little bit deeper what that is during this Lenten season, we have a God in Jesus who loves us and who knows it and who continues to pour His life out for us in inviting us to be disciples, inviting us to follow Him on His journey through life, suffering, and death to glory. We are not disqualified because of our weakness and our stupidity or our indifference. We are not disqualified because of our sinfulness. We are loved and we are invited and we are called to a deeper walk than ever. Let us know and accept that during this Holy Week, this celebration of the death and resurrection of Christ. And the second aspect of this gift of God's amazing mercy is, let us open ourselves to become more and more like Jesus so that those who play on our last nerve, those who meet our graciousness with indifference or outright rejection or nitpicking, whether those people be with the people we live with in our house or those people we call international enemies, that those people become the objects of our patience and enduring love and respect for them as made in the image and likeness of God, just the way we are treated that way by Christ in the midst of our sinfulness and our error. There are many, many graces to be held during the celebration of Holy Week, the death and resurrection of Christ. The mercy of God as accepted by us so that it can touch our hearts even deeper. And the transforming power of that mercy to make us places where the world, especially the worst of the world, experiences in and through us that there is hope for forgiveness and transformation. Those are two, I would say, venture to say, of the most precious gifts God can give to us and through us in this holiest of weeks.